Hi, and welcome to the Deeper Than Money podcast. I am your host, Chloe Elise. I'm a millennial money coach, speaker, dog mom, and a 7 on the Enneagram, and I am on a mission to prove to you that finances can be fun and easy. On the Deeper Than Money podcast, we will dive into all things millennial finance, debt, saving, mindset, and how to have financial freedom to enjoy life in your 20s and 30s. I want you to leave this podcast with more confidence around your moolah and the belief that your biggest financial dreams are possible for you. So, let's talk money. Hello, and welcome back to the Deeper Than Money podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about bank failures. If you have heard in the news, Silicon Valley Bank, which is often referred to as SVB, and Signature Bank were two of the biggest bank collapses since the Great Recession in 2008. So you might have heard this in the news or have heard people talking about these two bank failures. And this podcast episode is going to break it down really simply to talk about how that happens, what that means in general, and also what that means for you. It's really, especially if you don't totally, like if you've heard that news and don't totally get it, that can feel really scary, right? It can create this distrust for you, one, in your own bank, right? You're like, well, if that bank failed, what if my bank fails? It can create this distrust of maybe I shouldn't be putting my money in here, or this fear around what if I do leave my money in here, and also fear for what's going on in our economy, right? Is there going to be other banks that fail? Is there going to be, a stock market crash with inflation? Like all of these things, all of these very like fearful headlines are kind of floating around right now. So let's actually talk about what it means, because one of the most important things that you can be with money is confident. We want to create this community of confident men and women who feel good with money and who understand money. And a lot of times fear comes from not understanding how something's working. So let's break it down. Let's keep it super simple. There's no dumb questions here. We're going to walk through it. And again, we're going to talk about what happened, what that means in general, and what it means for you. Okay, so let's get into it. So Silicon Valley Bank, it was not your average bank. And this is the bank that crashed. So at Silicon Valley Bank, a majority of its clients were corporations, meaning it was highly undiversified. And by undiversified, if I'm buying fruit at the grocery store and I only buy apples, okay, I'm only buying apples, and I come home. Have you ever bit into an apple and it just is shit? Like it's just mushy. And you're like, oh my gosh, right? And then you bite into the next apple and it's also mushy. And you're like, oh my gosh. If you got all apples, you're screwed. You have no good fruit, right? Because all the apples you got in that batch happen to be mushy. And since you only bought apples, now you have no fruit for the week because it's all mushy. But instead, if you went to the grocery store and got apples and bananas and blueberries and a bunch of fruit, and then all of the apples that you got were mushy, let's say you got 3 apples, but you have 15 different types of fruit, now even though your apples, all the apples are bad, oh, that's funny, bad apples, all the apples are bad, you still have fruit for the week because you also got bananas, you also got blueberries, you also got these other types of fruit. That's what diversification means. It means if you have all of one kind, and that one kind of whatever it is, whether it be apples or in this case, whether it be corporations that were, and a lot of the deposits were from venture capital, tech, science companies. And again, because there were such, most of the types of accounts they had, most of their clients were corporations, that's like having all of your fruit be apples. So since they had most of their clients and a majority of their clients as corporations, and especially as these tech, science, and venture capital type of corporations, that kind of group of corporations have been having a tough year, that's really similar to getting all apples and then the apples have a bad season, the apples are mushy, and now you've no fruit for the week. That's kind of what happened in this bank. So let's talk about how banks work. So banks take your money in from you, right? You put money into a savings account. They take that money from you. They lend a big portion of that money out. And then when they lend it out, they make interest on that money. So in this example, let's say they lend it out in the form of bonds, okay? And they make an interest on it as a defined rate up front. So let's say it's 2% in this example. Then with interest rates rising, now people can get a bond for 4%. The value of the bond that they have to pay, 2%, are less than desirable. Basically, now that the bank technically has less money than originally deposited by customers, that means that if everyone wanted their money back, they wouldn't be able to pay it out. Okay, so everybody puts money in, they take that money and they're loaning it, right? They're loaning it to make interest, but they're not making back what they thought they would, right? Or people are defaulting on payments or whatever. It can be a mix of different things, but regardless, they're not getting the money back that they thought they would. And so then because of that, if people get fearful and pull their money out, they don't have enough money in that bank to pay back their customers. Not even pay back their customers, just pay their customers what their customers have in the bank. So SVB's problem was that it had a ton of low interest rate bonds that were being crushed in value since the Fed has been raising interest rates 8 times so far, if you're counting, to try to lower inflation. So what happened is it's called a bank run, okay? And what a bank run is, it's when depositors, so the people who have their money there, feel, holy shit, wait, what's going on? Something's not right with the bank. I'm worried that the bank is not going to have my money. So everyone pulls out their money at the same time. But when everyone pulls out their money at the same time, the bank doesn't have money on hand to give all those people what is in their savings account, what is in their checking account, all of those different things. So when everyone goes and does that together, right? And then it creates even more fear. So then more people do it. So everyone tries to get their money out all at once. And then the bank doesn't have the money. Now that can feel really scary, right? You're like, holy shit. So you're telling me I can put money in a bank and my bank cannot be able to pay me back if I ever got scared and took my money out. Hear me out. I mean, technically, yes, but hear me out. This is when FDIC insurance comes in, okay? So what is FDIC insurance? It protects money being held at insured banks if the bank were to fail. Okay, so the bank basically pays a premium, kind of like you might be paying for insurance, to protect themselves for this. So then what that means is if a bank is FDIC insured, each depositor is insured to at least $250,000 per insured bank. So that means if your money is in a checking account or savings account at a bank that is FDIC insured and you have under $250,000, what that means is that if your bank were to hypothetically fail, then this FDIC insurance would cover that and you would get your money back, not from the actual bank, but from this FDIC insurance, okay? So basically, even though your bank, in worst case scenario, your bank wouldn't have that money to pay you, you would still get that money, okay? So this is really important. What is FDIC insured? Make sure you are at a bank that is FDIC insured. And this is actually a really big question I get asked about high yield savings accounts. Also, if you don't have a high yield savings account, today is the mother effing day. Today is the mother effing day. If you do have a high yield savings account, text 5 people right now, because get in, losers, we're all building wealth and we want the people around us, the people we love, to also be building wealth. So what we're going to do is you're going to text 5 people right now. Hey, do you have a high yield savings account? I know this is random. Do you have a high yield savings account? If they don't, send them, we'll put it in the show notes, send them the free training. Here's how to open up a high yield savings account. Or you can tell them if you've done it yourself and you feel confident in explaining that to somebody else. but everyone needs a high-yield savings account. But anyway, I get asked a lot, is my high-yield savings account FDIC insured? Like, are high-yield savings accounts? Yes, high-yield savings accounts, just like savings accounts and checking accounts at a bank that is FDIC insured, those things are FDIC insured. Now, this is the confusing part. If you are like, okay, I want to go right now and make sure that my bank is FDIC insured, okay, and like my money at this bank is FDIC insured, a lot of people, they'll scroll down to the bottom to read the fine print of their bank, and there might be something that says, honestly, I should like pull it up right now. Let me see if I can just Google this and read exactly off what it says. But basically, to find out if your bank is FDIC insured, a lot of things you can do. One of the easiest ways is just to go online. And a lot of times at the main page on the bottom, it will say about if they are FDIC insured. Do not like stay at a bank that is FDIC insured. Now, but here's the confusing part. There, a lot of times at these banks, they have different kind of subsections, right? Like in a company, you might have HR and you might have sales and you might have like all these different departments. These banks have, think of it like different departments. So, right? So there might be a bank section of your big bank, but there also might be an investment section. This is more common now, where it's like there's a whole like umbrella where you can invest. There's a whole part where you can be saving and have your checking account or whatever else. So when you're scrolling down and you're figuring out, is my bank account, is my savings account FDIC insured? You might see a little thing that says, let's see, I'm going to pull this up right now. Okay. I'm looking at the bottom of the high-yield savings account website that I personally use. And again, I have, if you need to know how to open up a high-yield savings account and all those things, go. There's literally a 15-minute free training where I explain all that because I'm not going to get into that too much. But in the FDIC insurance, where they're explaining it at the bottom of this webpage, there is a section, it says it is member FDIC, which is great. But then there's a section that says securities products are not FDIC insured, not bank guaranteed, and may lose value. So what I have seen is a lot of people who message me and say, Chloe, in your high-yield savings account training, you told me to go make sure that my bank is and my savings account is FDIC insured. But when I went on there, I read that line that says securities products are not FDIC insured, not bank guaranteed, and may lose value. Okay, securities products, that is different than your checking account or savings account, okay? So your checking account, your savings account, your high yield savings account, those are FDIC insured. What is not FDIC insured are what is this umbrella of like securities, which is stocks, bonds, mutual funds, basically the umbrella of investments. And that's normal, right? The reason it's not FDIC insured is because if you are investing, you are putting money into investments with the goal of earning, you know, well, I mean, it kind of depends on what you're putting your money into. But anyway, you're putting money into investments with the goal of a long-term return on investment, or short-term, or kind of mid-term return on investment. But that's, you can lose money while investing, yes. And I don't say that to scare you. That's totally fine, right? Because it's a little bit higher risk, high reward, but we're investing based on historical data saying that while our investments may fluctuate in the short term, we might lose money or gain money up and down in the short run. In the long run, however, we are going to see those returns. So with investments, it's saying if I put my investment into the stock market, okay, and I put $100 into the stock market and the market goes down and I, let's say, lose, I'm putting that in quotes, $30, you don't actually lose anything until you cash that money out. However, let's say that amount goes down. You cannot then go say, hey, I lost $30 on this investment because I bought this stock. So I want that to be paid back to me via FDIC insurance. No, that is not how it works, because investments, you know, going into investments that there is risk there. Investments are not FDIC insured. So if you see that listed on your bank's website where it says securities products are not FDIC insured, that's okay. We know that going into investments, and that's a whole different conversation. But we want to make sure that the money that is sitting in your checking account, the money that is sitting in your high-yield savings account, which ideally that's where your emergency fund is. And remember, we want that money to be FDIC insured, because that money is wealth protecting money. That money is not money that you're trying to build massive wealth from. That money is money that is sitting there to protect your wealth. It's sitting there to protect the money that you would need in case of an emergency, the money you would need if you were to lose your job or whatever else. And so that money that's just sitting there, that is what we want to be FDIC insured. Now, remember earlier when I said FDIC insurance protects up to $250,000 per person per insured bank, okay? Now, here's one of the big kickers. At Signature Bank, remember, so there's the two banks, the Silicon Valley Bank, SVB, and Signature Bank, were two of the biggest bank collapses since the Great Recession that we talked about earlier. One of the wild things about Signature Bank, though, is that close to 90% of Signature Bank deposits exceeded the $250,000 cap for FDIC insurance. So what that means, which, I mean, that is really tough. If you, let's say you have $300,000 at a bank that is FDIC insured, and that bank fails and that bank cannot pay that, FDIC insurance is only paying you $250,000. So in that scenario, you can lose that extra $50,000 since you had $300,000 in one bank, and that bank is only protected up to $250,000. Now, there's an easy fix for this. You diversify where you are keeping your cash if you have that much cash on hand. Okay, so if you have $250,000 in a savings account at a bank, you want to open up another savings account at a different bank to put anything on top of that $250,000. Because if you have separate bank accounts at separate banks, then that total is going to be FDIC insured, since they're going to be both under $250,000. Because you don't want to have more than that, because then again, if a bank were to fail, you would not be owed that via FDIC insurance. Okay, so that's basically what happened. It was a combination of these banks being, it was a combination of a lot of things. It was a combination of just an interesting point in our economy with the Fed continuing to raise interest rates and SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, kind of getting into a sticky situation with the low interest rate bonds and the combination of the Fed raising rates. It was a combination of a lot of people having over the FDIC insured limit at their banks. And it was also a combination of people fearing, holy shit, I need to take my money out of the bank because I'm so scared I'm going to lose it. And by everyone pulling out their money from their savings account or checking account, the bank couldn't keep up and then failed. Okay, so it's a combo. It's a combo of all of those things. What does that mean for you, though? What does that mean for you? Okay, a lot of takeaways we have. Number one, we always want to be sure that you have your checking and savings account at an FDIC insured bank. Okay, we always want to make sure checking and savings are at an FDIC insured bank. That's number one. Number two, if you were to have more than $250,000 in a bank account, in a savings account or checking account, make sure that you are diversifying and splitting that among different banks. So instead of, let's say, again, you have $350,000 sitting in an FDIC insured bank, you want to take $50,000 out of that, open up a bank account, a high-yield savings account or whatever at a different bank and then put that other $50,000 at a different bank. Because again, in that scenario, if both banks were to fail, you would get the $250,000 back from one bank and the $50,000 from the other bank, because both banks are under that allotted limit of $250,000. So that's really important. Number three, interest rates have been rising, which means banks are paying you more to hold your deposits, which is even more of a reason to use a high yield savings account. So my tip number three for you is make sure that you have a high yield savings account for sure. And number four, remember that our economy is pretty interesting. In fact, the past 2020, 2021, 2022, and now 2023 have been incredibly interesting economic environments, I would say. And I think it's really interesting. I was an economics major. That was one of my majors in college. And so it's really interesting to see what's going on, because there's so many factors at play. And that I don't want this to be a fearful thing when you're reading headlines and seeing everything that's going on. But what I can tell you is that it is so vital. It is so vital to be utilizing this time to figure out your finances. If you are in a spot where you are feeling like, oh, I mean, I definitely need to figure out my finances, or, oh, I should definitely figure out paying down debt, or I feel like I'm making good money, but I'm not really doing much with it, or I'm not really getting the results, or like, oh my gosh, I'm wanting to buy a house, but this market is crazy, or I'm worried I could lose my job, or like whatever it is that you're seeing in headlines. The biggest thing to remember is you can only control what you can control. There's a lot of like fear-mongering headlines, and whether it be the bank collapse, whether it be what's going on in the stock market, whether it be inflation, whether it be the job market. The biggest thing is remembering that you can only control what you can control, and that for me personally, y'all, my financial advice will always remain the same. Always remain the same. Deeper the Money is almost 5 years. It'll be 5 years in August, and it's been wild, right? We've had in the short run, we've had these economic booms where like the economy's doing great and everything's awesome. We've seen COVID. We've seen a lot of like different types of things going on in the market. And my advice for you is the same: strategy over sacrifice. Make sure you are using these strategies to implement into your own practice to be getting ahead with money. It is so vital that you are working to build an emergency fund right now. It is so vital that you are keeping your money somewhere that's FDIC insured always, right? Whether in times where we're seeing a bank failure, whether in times where we're not seeing a bank failure, like these principles don't change. These principles are the same. So how can we overcome inflation? How can you make more money? How can you protect yourself from what's going on in the world? How can we take advantage of the stock market being down? All of these things are the exact same answer that I have given to you in times when things are, going swimmingly in our economy, and things when we've had a tougher economic landscape. It's the exact same, because the principles of getting ahead with money and the strategy of getting ahead with money and figuring out your own priorities and figuring out how to get ahead so you can still enjoy your life, all of those remain the same. All of those are the exact same. And if you're someone who you're like, I'm kind of freaked out, this is a little bit of a wake-up call for me, I really want to figure out my finances, Again, take one step. Take those three steps that I told you today. Actually, I think I had four steps. Take those four steps that I told you today and make one step in getting ahead with money. Those four things. Do one thing. If you're someone who's like, no, I want to, like, I need to completely figure this out. I am a little bit on edge and I want to make sure I am so protected. I want to make sure I have this brick foundation of getting ahead with money so I can use this time to build wealth instead of using this time to like stay stressed about money or like just getting by or like worried about this. If that's you and you want to dive all the way in and get this figured out, again, Wealth Accelerator. I know I've talked about this before. We currently have open enrollment for our next round, which starts in April. And this is truly the perfect time to find financial stability. It is, oh my God, it's so important. It's so, so, so important. And nothing feels better than having just deep-rooted financial stability, especially when the world might feel a little hectic around you. And these financial principles instill confidence and allow you that despite what can be going on in the world around you, you're making money moves, you're building wealth, you have the savings, you have the debt paying down. And that is so freaking important. So that's what we teach inside of Wealth Accelerator. If you're interested in applying, we'll put a link in the show notes. You click the link to apply, fill out an application, and then you will have a really short conversation with my client experience team where they make sure Wealth Accelerator is the best resource for you. And if it's not the best resource for you, they will get whatever is the best resource for you in your hands so you can leave that call with next steps of how you are going to get ahead with money. Oh, and just feel really good and feel really confident. That's what I started this podcast episode with, and that's what I want to end it with, is nothing is truly as, nothing decreases fear like having confidence in money, having confidence in your financial stability, having an understanding of what's going on in our economy, and knowing that despite what's going on, you are financially protected. That is so incredibly important, and truly, you got to prioritize it. You have to prioritize it because financial stability is one of the most key elements in financial freedom. Okay, awesome. Well, that's what's going on. That's a little sneak peek, little snippet as what's going on in our world. If you have more questions about, hey, Chloe, can you explain this thing that's going on or this? Let us know. Leave a comment. Send us an email. You can. There's a little email box in the bottom of our website at deeperthemoney.com. Scroll to the bottom where you can ask, submit a question for the podcast, and we can answer it in a future episode. But thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of the Deeper the Money podcast, and we'll see you back next week.